Emma.
I'm Kiana.
I'm Tanasia.
I'm Lila.
And I'm Badila. And we're
we the Perfect 10 After School. And we love to be a part of WGXC Acra 90.7 FM, celebrating creative community radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Yay!
Wednesday, October 19th, there's all sorts of live radio shows on WGXC 90.7 FM. Another reason you might donate during our WGXC Fall Pledge Drive at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Make a contribution to keep all sorts of live community voices on the radio, like today at 10 a.m. It's time for Panther Mountain Sound with Matthew O'Neill. I'm down in Ulster County. He is live from Acre at 10 a.m. And then at 11 a.m., Mayuka Fujina is live from Acre with Mirage Station on the radio. Then we switch live to Catskill with Spike Priggen live for 2 hours on the Bedazzled Radio Hour, live from his Spike's Record Rack store on Main Street in Catskill. At 4 p.m., WGXC Afternoon Show is live from Acre. At 7 p.m., the Off the Hook Show is live from Brooklyn. It's simulcast from WBAI and from the Hacker Quarterly 2600, all about technology. And at 8 p.m., Rock and Roll High School with Peter McPartland and Anya Kanovskaya is live from Hudson. And at 10 p.m., the Magic Stranger fills in for Jeff Economy on the Snack Point Charlie Show, live from Columbia County. And at midnight, there's 2 more hours of live programming with Peter Aaron and his Go-Go Kitty Show, simulcast from Radio Kingston, WGXC 90.7 FM.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cochrane Media of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. Welcome to Ginger Radio Hour. I'm Justin Maiman, live
from the Acra studio. I have two goals today. One is to share an excerpt from my conversation with writer Lucy Sant. We talked about her new book, 19 Reservoirs. It's a book about all of the work and all the destruction that went in to creating the reservoirs that feed all of the water from the Catskills and Hudson Valley down into New York City. In many ways, it's a book about destroying communities and towns in the Catskills. But then my second goal is to build community right here by adding four new sustaining supporters today during this hour. We're going to help to raise money so the station, WGXC, can renew its lease on the tower. The tower is key. That's what makes the radio go out. And I had a good view of the tower today on my way into the station here. So how do you pledge? Go to WGXC.org, or you can call 518-697-7400. Help me add four new sustaining supporters this hour right here on Ginger Radio. Thank you.
Mina mama,
This is Ginger Radio Hour. And that was Chick Corea and Bella Fleck playing the tune Mountain live. Before that, Baba Mall with Traveler, Hiroshi Yoshimura with Creek, and we open the hour with Flying Lotus and the track Theme. So this is what we do on Ginger Radio Hour. We play music, and we feature interviews from all around the community. So today I made a list of some of the people I've interviewed over the past year as a way to try to urge you to become an investor in community radio. We're in the middle of the WJXC pledge drive. All you have to do to become a sustaining member is to go to WGXC.org or call 518-697-7400. My conversation with Lucy Sant is coming up in a moment. But first, let me read some of these community members that I've talked to over the past year. Catskill artist Mark Swanson, the local band Florist, poet-musician Cornelius Eady, novelist Gary Steingart, writer Peter Matheson Wheelwright, wildlife conservation photographer Carla Rhodes, artist and writer Javi Brock of Neversink, Catskill Animal Sanctuary founder Kathy Stevens. She and I had a conversation in Saugerties, sitting in a field full of goats. I also spoke with my friend and the incredible writer and naturalist Leslie Sharp, who of course is the denizen of the great Western Catskills, the storyteller of that region, and my friend Woodstock journalist Carol Zimmer, plus Catskills photographer Marissa Scheinfeld, who took all the wonderful photos in her book, The Borscht Belt. And last in this list, Allison Levy and Scott Serrano from Hortus Arboretum and Botanical Garden. That's a partial list of the people I've spoken to in this community over the last year. And that's very important to me. That's what the show is all about. Some music, some conversation, and a real focus on the Catskills and Hudson Valley. So, go to WGXC.org. Pledge today to become a sustaining member. Lucy Sant is coming up, but first, PJ Harvey.
I lost my heart under the bridge to that little girl. So much to me, and now I moan, and now I holler. She'll never know just what I found. That blue-eyed
Singing an ever-changing medley, often repeating each phrase 3 to 5 times.
You're listening to American Bird Songs, an album I've featured many times here from Cornell. Those are birds from the 40s and 50s.
The Brown Thresher's song is similar, but each phrase is seldom repeated more
than
twice.
Let me turn this down a bit. I'm featuring all the community, the people and the birds from this region today. So, you just heard Sam Gendel, Uroko Fish Scales. That's the track, Fish Scales. And before that, PJ Harvey, Down by the River. So I'm holding in my hand Lucy Sant's 19 Reservoirs. It's an absolutely beautiful book. It even has a blind deboss, I think that's what you call it, on the front of the hardcover, which is basically an etching into the book of the reservoir system. If you didn't know, the Catskills and the Hudson Valley are full of reservoirs that were created in the 19th and 20th century to fill New York City with water. Over 1 billion gallons of water every day are sent and consumed by New York City, and it all starts up here. So Sant wrote this book to detail really the definitive history of all of the reservoirs that were built. The Croton system, the Ashokan, Gilboa, Rondout, Neversink, the Papacton, and finally Cannonsville, which happened just in the 1950s. The book is full of photographs, but also historical photographs, of course, but also these wonderful postcards from the region. And then at the end, in the epilogue, are tremendous photos from today of the reservoir area and system around the Catskills by Tim Davis. But Sant set out to really tell a story about the ways in which New York City pushed and pushed hard to guarantee that its population would have enough water to drink. Again, this is really the first definitive book that I've read that covers all of the reservoir systems, the details behind them, but also the people behind them, which is why this book really struck me. So I'm going to play a short excerpt from our conversation. I asked Lucy how she came to get interested in water, reservoirs, the Catskills, and it turns out it was a haunting of sorts. Lucy Sant and I spoke over Zoom. She was in Kingston, I was in Cairo. And again, I'm going to come back to this idea of haunting. But here is an excerpt from my conversation with Lucy Sant.
You know, for me, writing this book began with an image, began with living in my first year in Delaware County. I was renting a house in Bloomville, and there was a drought on. And I actually, you know, I heard the Pipacton Reservoir had gotten so low that you should soon be able to see the steeples poking through. And, you know, that didn't happen. And later I found out, no, there are no steeples to poke through. This, by the way, is not actually so far-fetched because there are other reservoirs in the world, and you've seen them in Europe. I've seen a lot of pictures, reservoirs like in Italy and Spain going dry, and they did not tear down the buildings because they were stone. That's a big difference between the U.S. and Europe. You know, the buildings were stone, so they didn't take them down because they were not going to pollute, they were not going to decay. So they are still there, and you can see steeples when the water goes down. But in New York State, where everything is made of wood, they had to be burned and the ashes removed. So when the water gets low enough, all you can see are roads and cellars, road beds and cellars. And so I was haunted by this. I was haunted by people being deracinated. I guess in part it affected me because I'm an immigrant. And so, you know, I saw my parents lose their home to the industrial death rattle of Europe in the 1950s. And so it had a deep resonance for me. And there was something weird and eerie about the whole thing. So that's what moved me to write the book. And then, you know, of course, I dealt with all these other issues in the process, but it does begin with that one idea.
How did you decide to include the photographs?
Well, I'd been collecting postcards of the towns, the vanished towns, for 20 years. So I had a whole bunch. And most of the other photographs, the ones not by Tim, most of them were supplied or I found in the DEP archives, and they have an amazing collection. So the pictorial matter in this book is mind blowing, frankly.
I agree, and it makes for a real. It struck me in some ways as like a new book form.
It's beautifully done. Yeah. It's, I always like the idea of integrating picture and text. I've done that a bunch of times, but never as beautifully as in this book. And by the way, I urge you to take off the dust jacket and see what is known as my new vocabulary lesson, the blind deboss on the front cover, which is like an engraving of the entire water system, aqueducts and reservoirs. Thought of getting it as a tattoo.
You absolutely must. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, so I'm not going to put this back on. This is so much better. Jeez, they did it really, and the layout inside is really beautifully done.
Oh yeah.
I was curious to know just what some of the things that really stood out for you, either themes or things you discovered that you were surprised by.
Well, I don't know how much of a surprise it was, but the resounding theme for me was, you know, not to mince words, the evil of New York City. I mean, the way they were determined to pay, you know, to get their project done, pay the least amount, and the hell with the consequences. You know, the collateral damage they did not care about at all. They were just single-minded. They acted as if this region were basically unpopulated and they could just move in and take what they needed. And granted, they actually did need that water. There's no question, and affected millions of people. So you can't gainsay that, but their behavior, the way they went about it, was so consistently brutal all the way through. I mean, we don't have that much information about what happened to the people after Ashokan was built, after they were chased out. But, you know, there must have been, people have written to me since my book came out. One of them was someone whose grandparents suffered because of Ashokan, and their daughter, his great-great-grandparents, their daughter, his grandmother, suffered from psychological ailments all her life as a result of the displacement. So, you know, you must have thousands of these stories, which have not been previously set down, really.
That leads me to this, you know, I mean, so that theme comes through in the book. And I remember when the Ashokan was, I know it's, for me, it seems like so long ago, but the idea that in the 50s and 60s, New York City was still pursuing this so aggressively.
Yes. And refusing to pay their taxes on it, by the way. Yeah.
It's nutty. And then on top of that, the theme that emerged at the end of the book, which I just, sometimes it's very hard to have perspective on these things, is the idea that all of these reservoirs were created to keep us, well, we have plenty of water up here, to keep New York City in water until about 2050.
Yeah.
I had not, because I think of the Catskills as such a rich region, in my mind, it's like, it's limitless.
Yeah. Right.
I wondered if you spoke to people who started to explain maybe what could happen or what will need to happen if it really isn't limitless.
I haven't heard any real suggestions there, because the fact is, what other possibilities are there? You know, that, I mean, okay, anything east of the Hudson is embargoed. I mean, you can't touch those watersheds. There's been mention of the Adirondacks, but that's a national park, you know, good luck. And then what's left? Well, there's the Great Lakes pipeline is probably the most credible thing anybody's mentioned. That is a possibility. One thing that, you know, comes out in the writings of the past, and I remember this from my own childhood, in the 60s, they were predicting that water desalination would become extremely easy in the future. We'd be drinking ocean water, and by the way, eating seaweed was our primary source of nutrients. But, you know, I don't know that desalination has actually made giant leaps in progress in the last 50, 60 years. You can't really take from the Hudson because of PCBs. No matter how much you treat the water, you can't really get those things out. And they have a half-life of centuries. You know, the idea of walling off Long Island Sound and turning that into a giant reservoir, you'd have a war with Connecticut right away. They'd be firing guns across the sound. So, you know, it's, I mean, I'll be dead by then, but I dread it anyway.
I dread it too. Lucy Sant, talking about her new book, 19 Reservoirs, published by The Experiment. Go check it out. The hardcover is beautiful. You can also check out Ginger Radio on Tumblr, where you will be able to find out much more about the book. And always, you can check out the Ginger newsletter as well. Just go to justinmaiman.com. This is Ginger Radio Hour, live from ACRA on WGXC 90.7 FM. We are raising money today, and for a little bit here, for a couple days, a couple weeks. If you'd like to become a sustaining member, an investor in community radio, call 518-697-7400 or just go to wgxc.org. Help shows like Ginger Radio Hour interview even more people in the community. Artists, writers, photographers, naturalists, everybody. We're going to play some more music now from this studio live in ACRA, and it's going to go to the transmitter, to the tower, which I think is in Leeds, and that is why we're raising money today. I'm trying to get four new sustaining donors, four new, because we need to renew that lease on the tower so that these 3,300 watts go out on the FM dial. Please help. Thank you. That's the track Distant Shore by Dirty Three. Florist is up next.
Thank you.
You're listening to Florist. The track is 43. And this is Ginger Radio Hour. I wanted to close out the hour today by playing two pieces of music and artists focusing on the Catskills. That's Florist, who, of course, you've heard their new album. And they were here on Ginger Radio Hour a couple months ago this summer. And so was Sam Sadagursky. So let's play a little of that. The track is called High Lie. This is Sam Sadagursky and Nathan Kosey. These are all songs inspired by the Catskills and the Borscht Belt. You've been listening to Ginger Radio Hour. You can become a part of this community. Raise your hand. Join the family. Become an investor in community radio today. Just call 518-697-7400 or go to wgxc.org and become a sustaining supporter today. Thanks for listening. Thank you.